It was almost that time. He knew it. He had already been on the Mount of Transfigurations. He had already talked with Moses and Elijah about this coming hour, about this coming moment. And then all of a sudden it came down to that last week. How much of the life that we have with the Lord Jesus comes from that last week? And that's what we're going to be studying for the next few months. 10 special movements, really. But in the first one, it all begins with Jesus speaking to his disciples, say, boys, it's time now. And when it's time now, I want you to do something for me. He says, I want you to go. Well, let's just read about it. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, the Lord has need of them, say to them, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Capturing these moments now, all of a sudden, here we are. The Lord Jesus says for these guys, look, the grand entry time is coming, and I want you to be prepared. And the reason why this is so important is because the midnight cry is coming. We don't know when the Lord Jesus is going to return. So therefore, we've got to live every given moment as though this is the moment. He prepared us. He prepared us, and he gave us a wisdom. He gave us a journey that we could look at. Because, you know, the things that are going on, if we just started talking about the world, I mean, in Iran, Christians arrested, D-17, in Indonesia, Muslim destroyed church, in China, church leader targeted, in Pakistan, Christians were freed. In Somalia, Christians martyred. In China, church leader released. In Iran, Mary and Masri free. In Iran, church closing. In Kazakhstan, Christian fine deported. In China, student back in school after being expelled because he would not renounce his Christian faith. And then on and on and on it goes. And all of a sudden we say, well, that really doesn't bother me because it doesn't touch me. But listen, folks, it's part of your family. It's part of us. We're individuals who are now gathering together, and we want to hear. And the Lord is saying to us now, boys, it's time for you to break out. Preparing for the entry. By the way, has anybody challenged you in your faith? Has anybody challenged you? In other words, if I took the microphone up, which I'm not going to do, but I could very well much do it. If I took the microphone up and I stuck it in your face and say, are you a Christian? And then all of a sudden you would say, yes? Well, why are you a Christian? What would you say? Now, we're in a controlled environment here. You'd feel real comfortable about that. But what if you were sitting at McDonald's and somebody walked up to you and said, are you a Christian? What would you say? Oh, you might get the words out, yes, and then they would ask you the question, why? You see, you could think about that just for a moment. You know what, in other parts of the world, you might get debt, right? You might get debt because you said you were a Christian. But now, Jesus is saying to us, okay now, I want you to get you ready. And he instructed them to go in and to bring this donkey here. Well, what is the Lord telling us today? I think the Lord is preparing us for the entrance of the Lord Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's bringing us into focus. And the first thing he said to his disciples was to go. I want you to go. Move out of your comfort zone. Moving out of your comfort zone might be this. Walk across the room to somebody you don't even know and stick out your hand and say, do you know Jesus? Or it might be to walk up to that person who nobody's talking to and say, I'd like to be your friend. Or it might be all of a sudden that person who's been so verbally abusive to so many people, you walk up to them and say, "You know, God loves you." Breaking out of your comfort zone. That's easy for us to talk about it in this point, but folks, when we begin to break out of our comfort zone, all of a sudden great things will happen. Well, how does that work? How does breaking out of that comfort zone work? Well, you got to find. He told him, go find the donkeys. Go find this donkey that is tied up there. You know what God wants us to do? God wants us to find people and get in on what God is up to. That's it. Find the donkeys for them. But he wants us, if I were to ask you a question, what is God up to? And then I would follow it up and say, where is God doing it? What would be your response? What is God up to? Where is it happening? Find out where it is. Seek the places where God is. And then all of a sudden he says to these guys, now you walk up there and you undo this donkey and you start walking out. It'd be the same thing as this. What if all of a sudden the Lord said to you, go up into Walmart parking lot and there's going to be a there's going to be a gray Dodge there. I mean, you know. And you go up into that gray Dodge, and all I want you to do is just open up the door, get in, crank up, and drive off. What would you do that? You'd be riding in style, okay? I mean, what would you do? Would you do that? But what happens if somebody all of a sudden walks up to you and say, hey, guy, what are you doing? That's my truck. And then all of a sudden you said to him, Lord needs it. He'd say to you, okay, thank you. That's the same thing that was happening right here. I mean, going out of a comfort zone, would you walk up to a strange vehicle? Would you get in and drive off? And then all of a sudden, what he's doing? The Lord said to him, now bring it to me, okay? I mean, you got the donkey, you bring it to me. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Find out where God's up to, get in on it. Bring whatever it is. Bring it to Jesus. When you find it, excel in it. Bring it to Jesus. Put it before his hand. And then speak out. Speak. What is that? Speak the word of the Lord. How do you speak the word of the Lord? Okay, remember now, I'm going to stick the microphone in your face. And I'm going to ask you, are you a Christian? And then I'm going to ask you, why are you a Christian? And what's going to be your response? Okay, first of all, if I'm going to have a response, I need to be listening to what God's saying to me, right? And then secondly, I need to learn, and then I need to be able to speak it out. I need to be able to roll these words out. Listen, hey. Learn, hey. And then live it. I mean, God wants you to live it. Speak the word. Speak it out. And that's what he said. Go and get the donkey. Now, when they walk up to you and ask you, you need to have a response. You need to have a response. If you don't have a response, they're liable to, I don't know, what did they do with donkey stealers back then? Yeah, cut off their hands. That would be good. In the old West, they'd hang them. But back then, they'd cut off their hands. So, be ready to give a response. You're out of your comfort zone. You're acting, you're moving in the power of God. But the fact is this, if Jesus said, go get the donkey, folks, you can get it. It's sitting there and it's waiting on you. We got to act. We got to move forward. And then we got to announce, hey, there's a big reason for me doing this. And that's because the King is coming. Hey, he's coming. It's the midnight cry. Now, are you being challenged by your faith? Last week I was in one of the stations we were working. And all of a sudden got into this good heated discussion with this Muslim friend of mine about the Christian faith. And all of a sudden, this girl walks in. He knew the girl. I mean, she'd been coming in there all the time. And he's out, are you a Christian? And she said, yeah. And he said to her, why are you a Christian? And she said to him, why? What you trying to start? I mean, I'm serious. I mean, what you trying to start? She said, give me my cigarettes. I'm getting out of here. Now, put it, I mean, in real terms now, here you are trying to share with this guy who needs to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and your first Christian witness walks into there and said, and she used other words too, I can't quote here, but she said, give me my cigarettes. Man, would you ever want to be a Christian with a response like that? Folks, your faith gets challenged. Wherever it is, your faith will get challenged, and then we've got to be ready to respond. We've got to be ready always to give an answer. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Okay, so here comes the question now. How are you preparing for the coming of the Lord when the midnight cries comes? Are you willing to move out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to go to where Jesus tells you to go? Are you willing to get in on what God's up to? Are you willing to absorb it, speak it, take action, and by faith, believing that God is going to accomplish that? You will be challenged. Because after you are challenged by your faith, there's another level. That's the preparation level for the entry. But here comes the grand entry. And I want you to pick it up with me in Matthew chapter 21, verse 6. "So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes went before, and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna, the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest!'" Imagine this. Can you feel the excitement? Can you feel the intensity? The only way I can explain it to you is like at a football game. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm going to use this other school, okay, for just a few minutes. Now, y'all just let me use it for a few minutes. And all of a sudden, you hear this little rumble. Roll Tide, Roll Tide. Okay, I told y'all, I beg for forgiveness. But he said, Roll Tide. And all of a sudden, there's this intensity that's building up with expectation and anticipation. Wait a minute. There's something far bigger than that that's happening. Here he comes. The disciples are leading the way. Hosanna! What did they do? I mean, if you just stop for a moment, how can you join in the celebration? How can really you be a part of this? How can you do it? The disciples did it this way. They obeyed the commands of Jesus, okay? They went out and they brought the donkey in. But then something else. They begin with what they had. You know what they did? They took off their jackets and they laid them on the donkey. Some of them took off their coats, whatever they were wearing, and they just laid it in the road for Jesus to walk by and to walk on it. Can you see it? And all of a sudden, it was just a few people. They started, just a few. And then all of a sudden, the crowd started coming together, and they started lifting up the name of Jesus. Because what they did, actually, they had this donkey, and the disciples said, "Here he is." I mean, we've seen it, something like this when they put the coaches on their shoulder, and they walked through the crowd and said, yeah. But all of a sudden, now they took Jesus. They put him on the donkey. He's coming through. They gave him what they had. They put their coach down, and they're encouraging the crowds, and the crowds are getting so excited in this that they're crying, "Hosanna, the Son of David." What is that? That is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. That is the fulfillment saying that this is the Messiah. When they said, "Praise be unto God, the Son of David," the Messiah was coming out of the seed of David. And now here he is. "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord God." This is the man. This is the one. This is the Holy One. Here he is, Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the people were praising God. Energy. Folks, what would happen if a bunch of us rode down the streets of Columbus with loudspeakers saying, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord!" What do you think would happen? Yeah. It would happen like that. And so all of a sudden, we would see some people would begin to take notice. You know what the church people would do? Church people say, man, look at those idiots. That's what they do. But what was the crowd doing? All of a sudden, now, we see it's coming in here. By the way, other than Sunday morning worship service, when has your voice spoke the name of Jesus? We better do it later. We give a testimony. Speaking the words, standing up for Jesus, praising God, that's obeying the commandment of God. That's obeying the commandment of Jesus. That's beginning right where we are. Maybe it's just a pen. That's lifting up Jesus and putting Him on the donkey, putting Him in the place of respect. And that's encouraging the crowd. Not only let the crowd yell, but wouldn't it be nice if when we drove through the streets of Columbus and we started yelling, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, that all of a sudden you see tearing out of the Methodist parking lot. Would be some more people saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Tearing out of the Presbyterian parking lot, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Tearing out of the Church of Christ. Tearing out of the Baptist, tearing out of the Assembly, to all of a sudden you see, just a group of people saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? Somebody hit you cold turkey and wanted an answer. What are you passionate about? Let's look at this entry. Stay with me. We're moving now into the impact. In verse 10, the scripture says, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Wow. This is Jesus. Do you know that a major portion of the world believes that Jesus didn't die on the cross? Did you know a major portion of the world believes that the only thing that went on that terrible day was a look-alike? Did you know that a major portion of the world said all that he is a good teacher? That's what a major portion of the world is saying. But when Jesus entered into the crowds, when Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem, the crowds then and there said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. What are we going to do with that? When people ask, who is this? What are we going to do with that? Well, when it all comes down, the city was moved. And people began to ask questions. We've got to give them an answer. We've got to respond. What answer would you give? Who is this? I can tell you the answer that I gave to one particular man. We were talking. And I said, of Jesus. And I coined the words from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, what is that? He wrote, there's a movie out. What is it? Yeah, Narnia. Is it? Narnia, okay, this Christian author, he started out as an atheist, by the way. He was an atheist. But C.S. Lewis said that he coined these words. He said, Jesus, who is he? He's either a liar, because Jesus said that he is the Son of God. or he's a lunatic. A lunatic who said that he's the savior of the world, and a lunatic is somebody who says that I'm the shell of an egg. That's a lunatic, okay? Either he's a liar because he said that he was the Son of God, or he's a lunatic because he said that he was the savior of the world, or he is the Lord. And if he's the Lord, he is who he said he was, and he's going to do what he said he was going to do. So when the response then to I gave to this guy said either he's a liar, he's a lunatic, or the Lord. And he says, oh no, oh no, he's not a liar. Oh no, he's not a lunatic. Well, then I said, well, then he is Lord. And he wouldn't accept that. He wouldn't accept that. Because that's who Jesus is. Jesus entered into the crowds. He entered into the city. And they said, who is he? And they said, he is the Lord. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23 says, I have sworn of myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Unto me. How are you preparing for the entrance of the Lord Jesus? What are you passionate about? And how will you respond when someone says, who is Jesus? Well, he moves into the city. Okay? We're now in verse 12, or 21 verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of money and changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children were crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! They were indignant and said to him, do you hear these things they're saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Oh, the Lord Jesus. By the way, if we asked a question this morning, if Jesus rode into town, okay? He rides into town and he's not riding on a lonely donkey. He is riding on a white Dodge, okay? Everybody knew it's Jesus. He comes into town. Let me ask you a question. It's Sunday, okay? Where would Jesus go? To people who were not in church, good comment. Where would Jesus go? What are you thinking? Where? Speak to the townspeople. If Jesus came in to Columbus today, he'd go to church. What church? Okay, go to stay. Well, he's already here today. But it could have been. Yeah. Where would he go? I'm kind of wondering about this. Well, this is what Jesus did do. Jesus went to the temple. Why? Because that was the place of representation. That's where God was to dwell. For hundreds of years, it was the temple that Jesus. And when Jesus moved in, though, what did he find and what did he say? In other words, he said, and he went into the temple and he cast out all those that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables and the money changers and the seats of all them that sold doves and said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Oh, my goodness. If Jesus went into Church A in Columbus, whatever church that is, what would he find? What would he find? You know, it's sometimes wondering, what would he find? I tell you what he's looking for. He goes to the church and he said he's looking for a place of prayer. That's what he's looking for. I tell you something else he's looking for. He's looking for a house of healing. That's what he's looking for. Because you see, after Jesus had cleansed the temple, they brought to him the lame and the maimed in the temple, in that courtyard area, and he healed them. That's what he did. I can tell you what he's looking for. He's looking for praise. He's looking for prayer. He's looking for people to give praise unto God. But what did he receive? I'll tell you what he received. When he went into the temple there, he found people were robbing God. He said, robbing God? That's terrible. That's terrible. Will people rob God? Oh. He says, what does a thief do? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 12 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord. That's what he said when he went into the church there in the book of Malachi. What would he find? What's a thief do? A thief is one who's bent on self-destruction. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, in the church, does he find those who are bent on self-destruction? Taking, using, and discarding? In Luke chapter 10, verse 30, and Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed him, leaving him half dead. That's what a thief does. He robs, he steals, he kills. And in John 10, 1, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. What's happening here? He robs. He uses people. Hey, that was the accusation then when I was talking with this guy. He said, I got a friend who became a Christian. And he said, the reason why he did is that, man, you need to become a Christian. Because if you do, man, they'll babysit for you. They'll give you food. They'll come and they'll shop at your place. Man, you need to do that. Interesting. Was the heart converted? If this lost guy was right, was this man doing a show? Or if was this man that he's talking about, was his heart converted, and that was just the benefits of being a Christian? I don't know. But what I do know is this, that when some people try to get to heaven by the way of works or any other way other than through Jesus Christ, he calls them a thief. He calls them a robber. And when people use people, that's not what God intends. Or when people seek other ways. So what is he saying to us? When Jesus showed up into the temple, the first thing that he did was he cleaned of all of those things that were dishonoring God. He turned it back into a place of prayer. He healed the people. And then even the babies started crying out, Hosanna, for praise was perfected. Wow, what a neat thing when Jesus came to town. Well, let me ask you a series of questions. Is your walk being challenged? If somebody hits you cold turkey, y'all know what cold turkey means? Okay. If somebody hits you cold turkey, do you have an answer for why you're a Christian? If people ask the question, and they saw God doing some great work, if people ask the question, who is this, in reference to Jesus, who is this, how would we respond? And if Jesus came to Columbus, where would he go? And if he came to Stateline Baptist Church, what would he find? Would he find praise? Would he find healing? What would he find? A love for God? That's what we want him to find. That's the normal way of life. Jesus came to Columbus. Well, the midnight hour is upon us, so let's wrap it up. Preparing for the entrance of Jesus begins with Jesus himself giving instructions. Following the instructions of Jesus will carry us out of our comfort zones into area of obedience by faith. In the new zone, the power of God will be discovered along with full acknowledgement that God is in control. People, for Jesus, preparing for Jesus' entrance is very simple. It is simply carrying out his commands. The entrance of Jesus builds upon the intensity of eternity. When the way is prepared by the will of God, the celebration will begin. People will want to celebrate. People will want to get in on where the passion is flowing. Nobody desires to follow an ice truck, but some would even dare to follow a fire truck. A passion for Christ releases the lips for praise and the hands for service. An outpouring of the Spirit introducing the presence of Jesus will create a stir in the city. People who are taking part in the celebration will be given the opportunity to respond, "Who is this?" And a clear message will be released. Jesus is not a liar or a lunatic because he is Lord. The holiness of Jesus demands that his church be what he created it for, a house of prayer, a place of healing. And Jesus will confront impropriety with a passion. He clearly defined the purpose of the church, and anything that does not line up with the purpose of its creation must be overturned. Holiness and selfishness separate like oil and water. Being ready with a passion to carry out the word stirs the heart and loosens the lips with celebration. We know not the day nor the hour of his coming, so let us work and live a life of celebration as though Jesus was entering Columbus today. Let's pray. Father, let us be ready for the midnight hour is upon us. And each of us, Lord, we've got to address this personally because we will be challenged. We will be challenged in our faith. Be it in the marketplace, be it in the home, be it in the streets, we will be challenged. Father, may we today commit our life to you that we will meet the challenge. If someone is not walking with you, Lord, I pray that today, by faith, they'll say yes to Jesus. Yes to the Savior of the world. Yes to the Son of David. Yes to God Almighty. Yes to the saving grace of a loving Lord God. Say yes to Jesus. Father, help this church have a growing passion with intensity of the last day, Lord, with intensity of something is happening, with an intensity that it's growing. Father, give us the anointing. Give us the passion. Put within our hearts both the will and to do for your good pleasure. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What about you today? What about you today? Do you have a passion for the Christ? Do you have a passion? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Is he in your heart? If he's not, I invite you to come. Come, let's talk about it. Just say yes to Jesus. He'll come into your life today. The prayer altar is going to be open. Families, individuals will need prayer. Maybe somebody in this room needs to break out and step across and get out of their comfort zone and walk up to say to somebody and say, "In the name of Jesus, I love you. In the name of Jesus." What's God saying to you today? For you. Let's stand together and sing as people make decisions.